Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We want you to know this show has been producing and hosting for about 40 years. And it is the producer and host producer of thousands of shows across the nation. And we welcome you to the Global Vision for Living Today. Thank God, thank God, thank God he's giving us another opportunity. You and I both know many did not wake up this morning. Many were not found in their beds this morning. Many were not found on their buses to shop. Many have just disappeared. But here we are on the Global Vision for Living Today to learn what thus saith God and anything else about God through his son. That's what we are about here. So our show topic today is, how do I show God that I love him? Uh-oh, part two, Psalm 83:18. Does saying we love God mean that we love God? Does doing good work show we love God? Does lots of money in the bank mean that we love God? Having lots of fun and good food to eat, does that mean, oh my God, that we love God? Well, let's hear how we can show God that we love him. And I always like to quote the late, great Bishop James Howard Mams. He said, God would rather see a sermon than hear one. And oh my God, they came from all across the state on Sundays. They would call and say, is Reverend Mams going to be in the pulpit today? Oh my God. But people listen. And that's why you have tuned in this morning to listen. Now, we have Colonel Harrison with us today. He has been on the show for all of 198 episodes. I said, oh, my God, I didn't know the show has been on that long. And I see, oh, we have someone else that just tuned in, Georgia Gregory. I know many of you are familiar with her, and we welcome her as well. We welcome all of you to learn how to show God that you love him. Colonel Harrison, jump in there. Introduce yourself, and let's get this ball rolling.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Coppertino, and listening audience. It's just a pleasure to be on the show again this morning, and I greet you from the East Coast. Looking forward to us having a great show this morning. Thank you.
Hey, hey. All right. East Coast, West Coast. Well, you know, a lot of people are going around saying, uh-oh, you know what? I'm going to church tomorrow. Uh-oh, yeah, I'm going to hear what my pastor got to say. Oh, yeah, you know what? I got to get my car washed this morning because, hey, I'm going to church tomorrow. Oh, my God, I better get to the cleaners before they close. Oh, my God. Does that necessarily mean that any of them, and me included, you included, is showing God that we love him with that type of attitude? Well, I'm going to start off because right now there's a certain or have when they really want to show God that they love him. They already know on the other side of that mountain is some cruel talk. Bishop used to say, cruel talk. I got some cruel talk for you tomorrow, because while God is interested in us proclaiming to love him and want to do good works, sometimes doing good works is not what God is looking for. Of course, the law of the land wants you to do good and be good, or you're going to jail. Simple as that. But this God, when we want to show him that we love him, what should be some of those steps, Colonel Harrison?
The first step we should show God that we love him by living a life that is pleasing unto God, a life that is based on instructions that we receive from God. That is Psalm 83:19, God, Jehovah. We have to follow his instructions for our lives and open our lives up so that we can receive his instructions. And once we receive his instructions, carry out his instructions, then we can share those instructions with others. So So we have to live a life that's pleasing to God to begin with by following God's instructions, number one, number two.
Yeah, that's very good. To follow his instructions, you'd have to know what they are. So let's not get this thing twisted, you guys. There is a way that God approves when one wants to show him that we love him. There's a way. If I want to make a dress, there's a way to cut it out. There's a way to lay that fabric out on the woof, the weft. Oh, my God, I'm going back so many years. If I want to bake a cake, I've got to follow some instructions. I've got to know what ingredients. I've got to know where to go buy those. I have to know how high to turn the oven on. There's instructions for everything in life. So in order to show God that we love him, there's some instructions there. There used to be a saying that the Africans can't read, but they can look up at the sky. They can look up at the trees, the plants. They can look at the animals, how they operate, to show that there really is a God that should be loved and appreciated. And they say, well, what can they do with the Bible if they can read or write? Being created in God's image, that image also teaches us how to show God that we love him. What would be some of the benefits of loving God, the activity of loving him? What are some of the benefits once we not get to know him, but study his word, associate with those that study his word, be around those that talk about his word, go out and seek out and find out those that you can see is putting God first? That's also a way we can show God that we love him. When we wake up in the morning, what is our first and foremost deed? Well, number one, we're going to pray, you know, I don't know you, God. I can't see you, but I want you to help me get to know you. I want you to help me show you that I love. What? Fallen flesh? Demonic-led flesh? How is that going to show us that we're doing the right thing to show God that we really love him? The Bible says that all men, all are laying in the power of the wicked one. He gets some, he don't get some. He calls some to do his bidding, he don't call some to do his bidding. Everyone. So that means there's some things that we've got to do because we're all laying in the power of the wicked one. It says it. I'm not going to say that because at any minute I may say a bad word. Any minute I may say, I'm not going over there. So no one is exempt. But now we're talking about an activity of showing him, which means by our deeds. Our deeds show God that we love him. The Bible says he is roaming around to and fro. This one called the devil, seeking who he can destroy, seeking what he can do. That's his job. But we have a job to show God that we love him. Colonel Harrison, give us some more ways we can show God that we love him.
You certainly mentioned about the Capitina, our deeds, and our deeds could also be said to be our actions. What are our actions toward the instructions that we receive from the Bible that God gives us? Do we go and do according to the scriptures that we have received, that someone has taught us? Do we carry those out, doing good deeds, good works, good actions toward others, loving God, loving our fellow mankind? And the Bible speaks of loving God, loving the Lord thy God first with all our hearts, minds, soul. And secondly, unto that of the greatest commandments, love thy neighbors ourselves. So do we love God? Do we love one another? Are we willing to give someone the shirt off our back? Are we willing to give them food that don't have food? And give them water if they don't have anything to drink, shelter if they don't have any place to stay. Those kinds of things toward each other, it shows that we love God and we also love one another.
Mm-hmm. That is most certainly true. Now, when we say that God wants us to help everyone and to help our enemies, love our enemies, how far should we go with that? because there's some scriptures that say we really should look out for those, look about those that are out here in the world. He also said in scripture, do not throw your pearls before swine. That is all the optimum scripture of helping anyone out there in the world. But there's something very interesting here. He says that they might know him. And when you talk about knowing God, you've got to praise God. You've got to worship God. You've got to study about God. You've got to do what God says to do. Now, while we're imperfect, we're going to make mistakes. But God does not expect us to lay around and embarrass him. How would a person embarrass God, Colonel Harrison?
We embarrass God by not obeying his instructions, not obeying his holy words, not doing what God tells us to do. And in regards to the statement, don't cast out pearls before swine, certainly that saying is meaning that if there's someone we're trying to help, and we've done it in good faith, and they will not receive it in good faith, then we're just stop and go and find someone else to help, because the person we're trying to help doesn't appreciate it. And so we have to be mindful that God is a loving God, and he wishes no one on earth should perish, and that we have to have love for one another because we are our brother and sister's keeper. But the world has turned evil and turned away from that teaching, so we still have to get back to that teaching of loving one another, because God is love. He first loved us.
Right, right, right. But, you know, the scriptures talk about those that are unteachable. And when you look at ancient Israel, they didn't go over there bothering those Canaanites. They didn't go over there bothering the Jebusites. They didn't go over there bothering the Hittites. I could go on and on with all those tribes or groups of people. Because when you talk about God being a holy God, he's already told us to be holy. And you're not going to be holy unless God puts his spirit on you to be just that. You can't go before God not being holy. I remember in the early church days, you couldn't even go into church with your shoes on. I mean, we could really wrap this thing up. But right now, our focus point is how do we show God that we love him? You've already mentioned by doing good works. Number two, we could say by getting to know this guy, finding out all that you can about him, because you're not going to read Psalm 83:18 and not want to go beyond that scripture. Well, him alone, what do you mean him? Well, where is he at? By just reading that one scripture, that's enough to lead us all the way through the Bible from the beginning to the end. And to be quite honest about it, God is not going to have it no other way. The time left is reduced. When I was 10, 20, 30, okay, I hee-hawed and grinned. When I was 30, 40, and 50, I skinned, hee-hawed and grinned. But now that, you know, the older people used to say, you know what, it's getting late in the evening. Now that it's gotten late in the evening, and I'm not saying, you know, I did everything I thought was big enough to do, and then when I'm old and can hardly crawl, I didn't say walk. I said I can hardly crawl. Now I'm turning to God. It's better late than never, but if I get to him late, I already know that it's really late in the evening. And I was speaking with Colonel earlier, let me tell you guys something. I had an opportunity to hear something about the first black Miss USA. She was the attorney, tall, beautiful, so forth and so on. But she left a suicide note. She jumped off a 29-story hotel room where she was staying. And they're trying to figure out, well, how did she get there, for how long, you know what I mean? But to cut through the chase, her mother was on Good Morning America reading the suicide note. And it said all these great things about her, but at the end, she said, I don't want you to be sad, but I am taking my own life because I don't see a purpose in it. I have no purpose in it, And I don't know if I would ever find out what my real purpose in life is. And that is when, oh, my God, you could not hear a dry eye in there, because obviously she came from a very good family. They both parents were educators. But here's a woman with everything. They showed clips of her with Caucasian men, looked rich and wealthy, and home rich and wealthy, furniture in it, and so on and so on. But she said, "I'm killing myself because I can't find my purpose. I've been living for 30-some years. I don't know what my purpose is." Now, I almost broke down myself, because for someone in that station of life to say they have no purpose and went all the way, an attorney, you can't even get in law school unless you pass LSAT tests, and they've got to be in the 80s, high 80 percentile. And wow, wow, wow. Oh, you got to be about something mentally. So here we are today, talking about how do I show God that I love him. Oh, my goodness, a purpose. Every human being was born with a purpose. But if you're not taught who gave you that purpose, why are you standing around under or without being under your purpose? Why wouldn't you know? Because you have not been taught that you are not here for the get down. You're here to show a God that you love him. You got to know that God, and you got to obey him. The scripture says in John that he's coming with his son with the flaming sword to destroy and kill those that do not obey me, and those that do not honor me, and those that do not know me. K-N-O-W. So this young lady obviously didn't know God. Jumping out of a, and that's not really something African-Americans do, you know, they'll shoot themselves first before they jump out of a building like that. But I believe she was half white. The thing is that when you have people like that, that say they have no purpose, all them that want to be, don't want to pretend to be, hey, they gonna get in a hurry to show this God that they love him. They, it just isn't, the songwriter says there's just no other way. There's got to be a purpose. What are you here for? What are you living for? Why are you hanging around on planet Earth? You have got to follow worship, praise, and holify the creator of the universe. Why else would he create us? Something to eat and all of that. They weren't eating a bread and pork chop in heaven then. That was not God's purpose. That was not it. He said, I'm going to create the earth. I'm going to create and everything in it. So here we are now. Do we want to end up like that? No, we don't. I feel sorry now, even for her. I didn't know all of this. And there's hundreds just like her. Every day, if you or someone you know is contemplating suicide, please call the national hotline. I can almost memorize it or quote it from memory. This thing is real. People, they don't have a reason to live. They just hear, oh, I didn't ask to come here. How can you show God that you love him with that kind of an attitude, especially the one who calls himself the one and only true God of the universe? So we can go back a little on that. He wants us to worship him. He don't want anything calling to him, talking about, oh, I'm yours, God. He wants to see the works. He said, whether you believe in me or not, he says, faith without works is dead. And people that want to show God that they love him, they've got to have that kind of faith. Well, how do I get that faith? From trial and error, from kick down, get up, kick down and get up. I done made a mistake here, kick down and get up. How are you going to do that without him? How do I show God that I love him? in faith, he expects you to worship him. Now, where are you going to worship him at? You going to lay on your floor and worship him? Where are you going? That's what he wants. Now, who can get around that made out of flesh and blood? Colonel Harrison, how does one show God that they love him by their worship? Let's start with worship now.
We show God we love him by our worship, through praising him, through being obedient to him, through adoration, which is another word and form of praise, through serving him, through loving him. And those are the ways that God, that we can show God that we love him, because he's the creator and he created mankind to and for his purpose. And his purpose for mankind is not only to replenish, be fruitful and replenish the earth, but to see that every human being on earth that reaches the womb of a woman is taught who God, the creator Jehovah, is. Because if we love God, then God is love, and automatically creates the responsibility and it creates the desire within us to love one another, who are offsprings of God's creation, whether we male or female.
That is so true. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He said his son is coming with the flaming sword. And you know something about this God? He gives the rain, the sun. He gives the clouds. He gives the cosmos. Everything we need on earth, here it is. He makes, if any for you scientists out there, you guys know about the constellation and how he has all those planets circulating. The sun, I mean, that's the crest of the humanity of heaven. Oh, wow, if I can even put it like this. He set this thing upright. Bishop Mann said, oh, my God. He said, this God outdid himself. And we know in Genesis, when everything was created, said even the stars in heaven clapped their hands. I didn't know a star had any hands, but figuratively, so that we would understand how great this God is and what magnitude he has in our universe. He just didn't create Earth. There's Venus, there's Mars, there's Pluto, Jupiter. Oh, my God. And they said, wait a minute, 12, okay, and 12 tribes, oh, well, and 12 disciples. There's something about that number 12. Oh, my God. And to this day, scientists say they have to shake their heads. They don't know how this universe was put together. They have ideas. But God is not playing, and he then told them, the heavens belong to me, but I have given you, sons of man, the earth. So let them keep tampering. He said, this is mine up here, and I done told you what I have told you. But right now our focus is on how do I show God that I love him, being honorable, being a person of decency and wisdom, being a person that is teachable, being a person that is meek. All of this is in the scripture. But now if we love God, we have to follow his son Christ Jesus. Upon his crucifixion and God resurrecting him, rising him back up, there was a great commission that he put us on. There was nothing more to say. He said, I done came before myself. There was the priest. There was the prophet. They went to and fro to you guys, to the great so-called nation of Israel. But now, hallelujah, when I hung my head in the locks of my shoulder and I said, it is finished. Jesus Christ said, it is finished. And they said that big curtain there in the temple was split in half. No more doing that. With my death, this is it. I'm turning you back over to the Father. I'm turning you back over to the one who says in Psalm 83:18 that his name is Jehovah. I'm turning you over. But before I turn you back over to him, I got something for you to do. Don't look to the right or left. I'm talking to you right now. I have something for you to do. And Colonel Harrison, Reverend Harrison, what is the Great Commission for us to do if we want to show God that we love him? I said show. They have taught
God
a dog to say hallelujah, amen. They taught a dog
yes,
to say yep. hallelujah, amen. What is that commission?
You. Yes, God has commanded in the Great Commission as found in Matthew, the book of Matthew in the Bible, beloved listeners, Matthew chapter 28. God told his original 12 disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of time. He wants us to be disciples, to go and tell other people about his son, Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus is born and he is the son of man and woman and that God wishes none should perish because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, who is Jesus Christ, so that we may have a right to the tree
wow.
of life here in this life and eternal life in the life after this life.
Oh, my God. That is really something. He said, go. Go mean get up. It mean go. He said, I want you to do these things. He said, and I am with you. Who else do you need? I am with you. I am with you. There's no excuse. I am. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We don't need flesh and blood by our side because he's done promised. Titus says he cannot. Titus 1:2 says he cannot lie. If he wanted to lie, he can't. I am with you. I tell you what, I'll take him any day. I don't have to cast no dice on the table to do it. Him, oh, yes. Oh, you will be with me? If I can make a choice, that is where it would be. He said, but you've got to do this. I'm not coming back for a while. He said, I'm not coming back. You'll see me on that white horse in the spirit, but I'm not coming back right now for a while. And when I do come back, you're going to see my presence through world conditions. You're going to be able to say, uh-oh, that must be God and Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness, that must be that one riding on that white horse, well, horseman of the apocalypse. This is what people should be talking about because that's very scary. But he said, lo, I am with you until the end. That is the promise. When he's with you, you're not hungry. When he's with you by your side, there's no reason to be afraid. When he said, I'm with you in your activities for me, look up and it's there. Look up and it's laying on the table. Look up and it's laying on the floor. Look up and it's in the bank. Hallelujah, praise God. I am with you. You can do a whole lot with some of that if he's with you. But he said, first, you got to do something. You're not created to just stand and walk around and die 80 years later. I don't need to see you dead. I need to see you going, be there for. God bless you all. We have such a wonderful time here with our studies. We know tomorrow is the World's Mother's Day. I know a lot are running around. I couldn't hardly get around yesterday. It was so many. I've never seen so many people around. I was telling someone just in the streets, it's going to be worse today. Stores are opening up at 6 and 7. That's the Mother's Day crowd. Restaurant, someone sent me a list of those. This way you want to go? I said, I'm not going to Tarzan. I'm not going to, what's that? Start. Some kind of island, Catalina Island for Mother's Day brunch. Oh, it's crazy. But God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. How do I show God that I love him? You better find out. Tune in next week for part 3. Same Saturday day, same time. Have a great weekend. And remember, whatever you do, Bishop Mims used to say, nothing but what you do for God is going to count. He said, I'm going to say it again. Nothing that you don't do for God, it's not going to count. Is that right, Colonel Harrison?
Yes, ma'am. That is correct, Dr. Costina.
Whatever we do, it ain't going to count. So I ain't going to waste my time. God bless you. Next week, have a great Mother's Day, if she's alive or not. God bless.